And welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Heather.
I'm Kelsey.
And today we will be discussing the best-selling young adult vampire romance that had a chokehold on the entirety of America and also made middle-aged mothers fight over Team Edward or Team Jacob, who, shall I remind everyone who's listening, was a child. A youth in this series. That's right. We're covering Twilight, which was published in 2005. I just want to get that out of the way now, because this is definitely an older book that we're covering.
Oh, yeah. Wait, before we get started, are we going to talk about which team we were?
Oh, sure, we can. Yes. I was Team Edward, for sure.
I was Team Jacob, for sure, and now I'm very uncomfortable about it, because I was reminded of the fact that he's like 14 or 15.
A literal child, but I didn't...
A baby.
I didn't feel anything for him in the first book, but definitely like a New Moon. I feel like because his character is so prominent in New Moon.
Yes.
I was on the fence about it, but
yes.
Twilight, and also, I was strictly like Team Edward.
I didn't read the books before seeing the movies. Mm-hmm. So I saw Taylor Lautner and I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm. With his long hair that I got like, chopped off.
And he was just like... beautiful skin. I was like, oh my god. And Robert Pattinson has never been my type. You know what I mean?
No, he was not the best choice for Edward Cullen whatsoever. No. I mean, I love Robert Pattinson. I think he's a great actor. Mm-hmm. But not
he's not
movie.
Hot enough.
I know. And even like Kristen Stewart as Bella, which we're actually not talking about the movie because we didn't get to watch it. But I just want to say that the casting for that movie was the actual worst.
Mm-hmm. And they, like, made... Never mind. Let's not get into it. Let's just talk about the book, because I could
Remember
go on and on
we
about this damn movie.
Talk about the movie.
That's a separate discussion. We're talking about the book.
All right. What are you drinking to fuel yourself from this book? From this book. For this book.
Let me just say I need something stronger than what I'm drinking. But I haven't had any delicious coffees of note. I went to Panera this past weekend and I got a latte there. Not great.
I don't know that I would get a latte from Panera.
I only got it because I was there. I was doing some computer
Their
stuff.
Breakfast is good though.
And I do love a soup bread bowl. Nothing wrong with Panera. It's just not the coffee destination.
No, it's definitely not.
And I'm missing out on a delicious fall coffee that I could have had. Which, by the way, this is not about fall. Oh, this is going to be off the rails. Anyway, did you see that Dunkin' Donuts is going to have, for their Christmas stuff, a cookie butter donut?
Yes.
I can't wait for that to come
out. Wait, they've had a cookie butter donut. That's not anything new.
I thought it was new. It was on this little page of like...
Well, I mean, it's new for the winter, but it's like a repetitive thing. They've had it before.
Oh.
But I did see the drink list because I sent it to my mom and... There was the signature latte was like a sugar cookie one.
Yes, I saw that.
So I'm excited for that because Starbucks sugar cookie is my absolute fave.
And I know they did have the cookie butter latte last year.
And,
I guess I just didn't see the donut.
Yeah, the cookie butter latte it's also one of my favorites because I like the little – that's really, really good. But the donut – but now – They didn't have it last winter, but they've had it before. They have
okay.
had. And because I like it, but it's like really, really – the cream in the middle is very, very sweet.
Yeah. It's like the brownie batter one.
Yes.
Which is
literally.
My favorite, but also gives me like a cavity every time I eat it. Anyway. Wow. Okay. What are you drinking?
I had a pumpkin cream cold brew this morning from Starbucks because
delicious.
Just still, I want to try the pecan, but I just love this pumpkin cream cold brew so much. So
it's so good.
I'm like afraid to go out on a limb here, but now I'm drinking a nice cold wild cherry Pepsi.
Mmm, delicious.
The fave. Yes.
Anyone who fast forwarded, thank you. Here we are.
All right, so. Stephanie Meyer's Twilight Saga has sold over 160 million copies globally. Yeah, crazy.
Okay.
She was the highest selling author of 2008 and 2009 in the United States, having sold over 29 million books in 2008 and 26.5 million books in 2009.
Okay.
So this is why I wanted to say this book came out in 2005. So it was published in 2005. It didn't become a craze until 3 years later in 2008.
When did the first movie come out?
Don't know. 2009?
Oh, 2008.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's why.
So that's exactly why. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There you go. So literally, it wasn't even, it came out, it didn't garner as much attention as it did once, like, the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then USA Today declared Meyer author of the year, citing that she had done something that no one else had in the 15 years of the USA Today bestselling book list, which is that she swept the top four slots in 2008. So all four books were at the top.
Okay, so they weren't saying anything about the quality.
No.
Just about the numbers.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I get it. Which, once I read author of the year, I was...
Gotta go by the numbers. I get it.
I know. On her website, she actually has a whole page, and it's very detailed and very long, dedicated to how she came up with the story of Twilight and how it got started and how it got published. I'm telling you, I barely even read it because it was a novel itself. So, but I took this excerpt because I like had to. So she says, I woke up on June 2nd, 2003 from a very vivid dream. In my dream, two people were having an intense conversation in a meadow in the woods. One of these people was just your average girl. The other person was fantastically beautiful, sparkly, and a vampire. They were discussing the difficulties inherent in the facts that A, they were falling in love with each other, while B, the vampire was particularly attracted to the scent of her blood and was having a difficult time restraining himself from killing her immediately.
Okay, so it was an unoriginal thought, basically. It was given to her in a dream. This is plagiarism.
I was like, oh girl, like you just had a vivid dream and then she woke up on this day and started writing this book. I was like, okay. I mean, props to you. I mean, honestly, I mean, I can't fault you. You did it. You went out and wrote a book.
You did it. And you're a millionaire now.
Exactly.
And also, she was like, you know what? I have to leave in there that he's sparkly.
Oh, God. I'm
sure we'll get to it.
So Twilight itself, the book, received lukewarm reviews. So some praised the novel's tone and its portrayal of common teenage emotions such as alienation and rebellion. I'm confused by that, but okay. And then others criticized Meyer's prose and argued the story was lacking in character development, which, facts. Complete and total facts.
This is so funny that they say this because as I was reading it, I was like, this does not feel like real teenagers.
No.
No,
and I was obsessed with this book when it came out, and I'm just like, why, Heather? I mean, I know why, but I'm like, why? So, anyways, okay. I'm not going to go into the author because everyone knows who the hell Stephanie Meyer is, and it's fine. So, just a little fact, I went on to Goodreads, and I just wanted to say that Twilight has 6,771,252 ratings.
Okay. God, that's so many.
So many. And also, the Goodreads description is four sentences long, which I do recall now that, like, seeing the back of the book when it first came out. So this is all we get. We get about three things I was absolutely positive. First, Edward was a vampire. Second, there was a part of him, and I didn't know how dominant that part might be that thirsted for my blood. And third, I was unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
So let's just dive right in.
Let's do it.
Okay, so our main female character is Bella Swan, a 17-year-old introverted girl who moves from Phoenix, Arizona to Forks, Washington to live with her father, Charlie Swan, who is the town's police chief, which I will say this. Last thing I'll say about the movie, maybe. Charlie Swan can fucking get it.
Oh, love.
Can get
love.
It so hard.
Anyways. I will go to the diner with you every week, buddy.
I know, honestly. Bella attends Forks High School, where, for whatever reason, she is immediately found attractive by every single boy in this school. Every single boy. And I'm like, Are the other girls like swamp creatures? Like, I
don't
understand.
I think it's a novelty thing. It has to be. Like, they've been around the same people forever because this is a small town where everyone knows everyone. And they're just like, oh my gosh, a new girl.
But it's not
even. We must love her.
Remotely believable because Bella's character is so awkward and weird. So why is it because she's so like demure that people are like, oh, I'm super attracted to you because I don't even know. Honestly, I don't. It does not make sense to me whatsoever. This immediately first thing I saw that I was like, no, this doesn't track at
She's
all.
Just not does written not in a way that makes her sense. Endearing.
No, she's really, really not. And then Bella is dismayed at the attention she's receiving, and she's so awkward about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't read well. I'll just say this off the bat now. Bella is not a character that I think the reader can remotely relate to.
No.
You don't have – there's not any connection with Bella ever throughout this first book. Maybe in the later books, but in this first book, I did not feel 1 ounce of a connection towards this character.
She just felt like – an exaggerated caricature. Like, she's so clumsy, she can't even walk from one side of the room to the other.
I'm pretty sure I put that in there somewhere because that was so overdone. It was so redundant. It was brought up every time. The author had so much filler in this book that did not need to be in this book. Every time she's in gym, everyone avoids her. She can't walk right. She can't, she's not going to go to the school dance because she can't dance. And I'm like, girl, be a wallflower then. Like, you don't have to, the dance isn't to go dance realistically. Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from two clumsy people, and oh, we literally still could honest not relate with this girl.
No, I got really annoyed after the 100th time it was mentioned.
The gym thing was too much for me. Like,
too much.
You just stop swinging your racket if you're just...
I know.
If you're hurting everyone.
And she's like, oh, I would hit the volleyball, and the one time I would hit it, I would hit a player on my team, which, okay, that's funny. But
yeah,
anyway. So, okay. While in the cafeteria with her new bestie, Jessica, she sees a table of extremely beautiful model-like people, and she just wants all the details on them. So, again.
Understandable if these people are clearly set apart from everyone else and clearly not giving off the vibes like everyone else is, that they're part of this big group. I get it. I'd want the dirt also.
I know. And then after lunch, she heads into biology class and she ends up sitting next to the undeniably handsome Edward Cullen, who is immediately repulsed by her. Okay, I know I said I wasn't going to, but in the movie, when Robert Pattinson does
the face he made,
deceased, legitimately deceased.
It's so good.
I can't.
So good.
So Edward is clenching his fists the entirety of the class, and Bella is just bewildered by this reaction because she hasn't said two words to the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do I smell? She was like, what did I do? I didn't.
And he has just a look of hatred.
Pure hatred. His eyes were so black.
And she's like, everyone else loves me. And this guy despises me.
Did you see the way that all these boring ass dudes looked at me like I'm hot stuff?
Yeah.
So after this whole situation, Edward ends up disappearing for a few days. And when he returns, now he wants to be Bella's BFF. And he's super nice to her. And here is where we were going to begin Heather's red flags of Edward Cullen. And here's number one. Oh, there's plenty. Don't
worry. There's so many.
Okay. Here's the first red flag. This dude who couldn't even look at you or say one word to you leaves school and he comes back and now he's just wants to be your best friend. Like, no, that's.
Oh, and he was trying to, she saw him in the office trying to switch his schedule around. Like, she knew that was about her. And now she's just like, oh, hey, so happy you're talking to me now.
Literally. And then after almost being hit by a van in the school parking lot, Edward saves Bella, narrowly stopping the van with his bare hands. And in this moment, and the hospital scene after as well, Bella is immediately that meme with the lady with the geometry equations over her confused face. And there's just all those, and she's just like that's Bella.
The wheels,
like,
that's are turning,
literally,
baby.
Literally, that whole meme is Bella Swan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I have to question Edward about this heroic event. And Edward is just so dismissive about it. He's like, don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. Like, I got you. What you think you saw, you did not see. I was standing right next to you the whole time. I was not across the parking lot. I was next to you, Bella. Next to you. Here's red flag number two, because this dude is motherfucking gaslighting her now. Now he's a gaslighter. This is the definition of gaslighting.
He is.
I'm just like, okay.
But also, he just saved you and you hit your head and you had a little bit of a shock. So the fact that she doesn't believe him is a red flag on her part. You know what I mean?
Has, like, her own red flags.
She's committing too hard. And I'm like, I feel like, and I'm a skeptical person, I don't trust many people, I still feel like I'd be like, you know what? You're probably right. Not Bella, though. Not Bella.
Nah. So, anyways, during a camp out on the beach with some school friends, Bella meets Jacob Black, who is also the son of Charlie's BFF, Billy Black. And Billy's character was annoying in this book, too. I was like, this dude is just showing up at random times and being very weird.
And kind of creepy.
Creepy on Bella. Mm-hmm. So Jacob reveals to Bella stories that Edward and his family are, in quotation marks, the Cold Ones, otherwise known as vampires without saying vampires, who consume only animal blood. And now Bella's, again, you know, light bulbs are starting to go off over her head. She's disturbed and riddled by recurring nightmares. And so she researches vampires. And she compares the characteristics of the vampires in mythology to the Cullens. And like I said, that light bulb goes off. And Bella is now convinced that Edward is a vampire. And there's no... She doesn't even seem afraid when she figures this out. There's no, like, holy shit, I need to tell the whole town. I gotta tell my dad. Like, my dad's the chief police chief. He needs to know that there's vampires living in this town. Like, if someone goes dead and missing, point to the Cullens.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she's just like, I'm going to keep this information to myself. I'm not going to say also, one word to anybody.
When she's researching it, she's like, oh, I read about 100 different types of vampires.
Yes.
And none of them are exactly like the Cullens.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are barely like the Cullens. But you know what? I solved it. I'm convinced with zero proof.
So she is now just ready to believe that Edward is a vampire. She goes to Port Angeles with Jessica and Angela while they dress shop for, like, the Sadie Hawkins dance, which every single boy wanted Bella to ask them to this dance. Every single boy, again. There was Mike. There was Eric. There was the dude that almost hit her with the car, whose name I can't remember. Tyler? Yes. And also, the whole point of a Sadie Hawkins dance is that the girl asks the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're like, so are you gonna ask me? Of these guys, like, I've been waiting for you to ask me to this dance.
Okay. All right. But this is also just pretend that you could suspend your disbelief and believe that all these people are obsessed with Bella.
Mm-hmm.
She's put in a weird spot because she can't be, like, turning them down because she wants friends.
I know. So she kind of gives them, like, an alternative. She's like, oh, Mike, you should ask Jessica because Jessica, like, really likes you. And then she tells Jessica, oh, Angela should go to the dance with Eric. And then this random girl, Lauren, who is barely – don't even know why she's a character in this book because she's pointless.
I forgot, like, about her until I read this.
Dislikes Bella because Tyler likes Bella. Just, like, make it stop. Anyways, Bella slinks away to find a local bookstore. And she just ends up hopelessly lost, which was not believable to me. And she's stalked by this group of men. Couldn't really gauge the age, but if I was guessing, I would say maybe like late 20s.
Yeah, I was 30s, thinking
like
20s,
middle aged,
yeah.
Kind of.
Okay, and middle aged.
I don't know. That was kind of what I thought. I don't know.
When is early 30s middle-aged, Heather?
Well, no, I meant, like, in, like, the whole range. Like, oh, 20s, oh my 30s. I wasn't saying that, like, middle-aged. But, like, I couldn't figure out if it was, like, 20s or 30s or, like, middle-aged. Sorry. Didn't mean to startle you there.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, watch your mouth. Okay, so.
And then out of nowhere, which it shouldn't have been a shocker to the reader, because throughout the entirety of her visit to Port Angeles, she keeps thinking that she sees the Mercedes or the BMW, whatever the fuck he drives. Just like, I see a silver car, and I just wonder if that's him.
It's a silver Volvo, Heather. Okay, obviously. We're in 2005.
Sorry. A silver Volvo. And I'm like, everyone probably has those. Or even just like a silver car. She sees a silver car, and she immediately thinks it's Edward. And I'm like, okay. There's a million silver cars in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it is him. She was right, actually. So he appears and he saves her. And then he's like, let me take you to dinner. He's like, let me just save your life. And then I'm going to take you to dinner, because if I don't take you to dinner, I'm going to stew over these men and I'm going to do bad things to these men. They're at the dinner.
So comforting.
I know. And here's red flag number three. The way that this man... boy, whatever, vampire, is staring obsessively at Bella after barely knowing her. It's like intense eye contact. Like, the waitress is coming to the table and thinks Edward's hot, and he's like dismissive to her. He's like, yeah, we'll take this and that, but looking at Bella like the entire time, does not leave eye contact once. I'm like, okay. And Bella's like, why wouldn't he look at the waitress? Like, she's so pretty, blah blah blah. And I'm just like,
also, like, why are you just sitting here watching me eat my raviolis?
I know.
Give me a break.
It did sound good, though. I will say the mushroom
ravioli. It made
ravioli,
me want raviolis. Yeah,
it did
that's
sound
true.
Really good. So Bella tells Edward that she knows he's a vampire, and Edward confirms her belief and confesses that Bella's blood is more desirable to him than anyone else's. And that's why he reacted the way he did that first day, because he wanted to kill her. Red flag number four. This man wanted to murder you.
In biology class.
But it's fine. You keep falling in love with him. It's all right. Make it make sense, but okay. He tried to stay away from Bella to avoid hurting her, but here we are. Here we are. Now he just won't leave her alone. He just goes, he's like never leaves her side now, which is weird to me as well. But
she's all about it.
Oh, all about
it. She's like, if he leaves my side mm-hmm. for more than 5 seconds... how will I live? And it's like, what?
I know.
I don't understand for so many reasons, but one of the main reasons is that even their conversations together, especially early on before they have any moments alone, like the meadow and all this stuff, they have absolutely no connection whatsoever. And he is so hot and cold. From one second, she says how his moods just flip back and forth, and mm-hmm. she doesn't even know if he likes her or if he hates her and all this stuff. And that just makes her love him.
I can't. It doesn't make any sense. Like, even just, it doesn't make any sense.
This is an unhealthy relationship standard that she is setting.
And
she's
then
making people
them,
are supposed to look up to this.
She's making them fall in love within like a 24-hour, 48-hour period. Like,
and not just in love, but like, to
like
the
she
death.
Will die if she like is without him.
Yes.
Which is what she wants. But anyways, he tells Bella how he is a 103-year-old vampire who was turned by Carlyle when he was near death with the Spanish flu in 1918. And then we get this whole historical spiel of how Carlyle became, how the whole family became. I was falling asleep, like, reading this. Like, this was the most... I get world building. Like, I completely get it. And I get having mm-hmm. a creative story. But this book wasn't well written. It was like a history class.
And there's just no connection to the characters. So you don't care where they came from.
No, I don't. I really don't. And why does Bella even care?
I couldn't tell you.
Like, when they go to the house, like, she, like, immediately wants to know all the history about everything. And I just was like, I don't know why. Like, it's boring.
And also just so unbelievable. And she just takes it all and is like...
I know.
Facts.
Exactly. And then Edward has this supernatural gift for reading people's minds, but for some inexplicable reason, he can't read Bella's thoughts, which I guess makes her more appealing to him as well.
Also, another red flag. Who wants a boyfriend who can read people's minds?
Oh, I know.
Not me.
But actually, here is the worst red flag. Might be my last one. I can't remember.
Probably not.
But it's number 5.
Okay.
He admits that he watches her sleep every single fucking night.
And she's not upset or creeped out. She's embarrassed.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be your first thought when someone says that they've been sneaking into your home every night and watching you sleep all night. Nope. I would be like, Charlie, we're moving. We're getting a security system.
Mm-hmm.
This man is the police chief. His house is not secure.
No, it's not. Legitimately not.
Which is rich considering he lives in a town where there's a bunch of vampires and a bunch of,
I know,
to be seen wolves. Anyway. I know,
literally. But like I said, in the matter of 48 hours, these two characters fall in love, but there's legitimately not 1 ounce of substance to this happening. You know, you have in romance novels like the meet cute, or we watch The Bachelor, and yeah, like people can fall in love very quickly, but there was like none of that in this at all. There was not any single moment that makes them fall in love with each other. Because Edward is a bona fide creep, and that should turn Bella off, but instead, she's like, yes, give me more.
And he's also constantly trying to scare her.
Yeah.
And saying how he could rip her apart, drink her blood. It's so hard not to, oh, when we go alone together, you're lucky that you come back alive. And she's just like,
I know. Tell me more.
She's like, oh, but you can smell me now without wanting to kill me? That's so cool. And then this is the part that I forgot about the books, which really, at one point I put the book down and I looked at Eric and I said, this woman is a millionaire and I am confused. When she says that anytime he breathes, she smells his breath. And the allure of his breath smell puts her in this loving trance. This is a new type of gaslighting. This is literally
the author is now gaslighting me.
Gases controlling her emotions. Imagine smelling someone's breath and being like, oh my God, I wish I got more of that. Ooh.
And this was also one of the issues that I have with the book, reading it now as an adult, is the descriptive words that she uses and the way she describes certain things. I was like, yuck. No. No, thank you. Like, no, don't want it. You know, it's just... she's like, every time I touch him, he's cold. And I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, just fucking stop. Like, she just... This is why the book was so long. Because she said the same fucking thing over and over again.
It was so repetitive. And I remember saying to you how... Before we started reading it, I'm like, how is this book almost 500 pages? This is ridiculous. And then I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, because it says the same thing over and over and over again, which is nothing.
It's nothing. It's literally, she just keeps repeating the same things. It's the same situations over and over again. There's nothing new.
And there's like 5 main events that happen in this book and that's it.
Yes. So the Cullens don't hunt humans. They hunt animals. So there you go. That's how they're getting fed. Which I guess, you know, is nice to know that, like, you know, they're not like killing humans.
And then when this was actually funny, when he casually talks about their favorite animals that they like to hunt.
Oh my God, yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, I like mountain lions or something. I don't know what he says. And he's like, oh, but Emmett really loves grizzly bears. And I'm like, what?
Which also, talk about cringe as well, now you just brought up the mountain lion. There's that stupid ass quote where it's like, oh, the lion fell in love with the lamb and blah, blah, blah.
I remember that being everywhere.
And I remember being obsessed with it because I was like, oh my God, this fuck. Oh, Edward Bella. Now I'm like, fuck it. Heather, you need a fucking lobotomy. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. I remember that so vividly. And I remember cringing at it so hard. Even when, because just, even the movie, you just, I know we're not talking about the movie, but you can't take it seriously. You can't take it seriously.
And then also, because it was also such a big thing when the movie came out, I kept waiting for it to come up in the book, and it didn't because it wasn't said in the book when Edward's like, say it, say it. And I'm like, vampire. And I was like waiting for it to come in the book, and I was like, oh fuck, it's not even in the book, it's just in the movie. But now I'm just so that's so ingrained in my brain, mm-hmm. that whole scene in the movie. And also when he's like, oh, climb on, spider monkey, like, that's, he doesn't say that at all.
Just some really great ad-libbing from Robert Pattinson.
Oh god. Anyways, back to the description. On sunshiny days, they cannot attend school and tend to go elsewhere because they sparkle. Yep, Bella fell in love with a glittery vampire.
Bro, we really saw this on the cinematic screen and said, this is the love story we want. This is man the love story is of the year. Glittering. What? He's like, I could rip you apart. I have more strength than I should ever need, faster than I should ever be. I can read your mind. I could do this, that, and the third thing. For some reason, he can drive at a billion miles an hour and not have to watch the road. And he sparkles.
Like, he belongs at a drag show. Like, boo, you get up on that stage. Everyone will love you. Oh,
especially with that pale skin, he could probably uh-huh. work some makeup. You uh-huh. know it.
Exactly. He would be the greatest specimen to become a drag queen. Because he doesn't even need to put glitter. He's already glittery. He
already has it.
Just has to do the face up and put the the hair on in a really sick outfit. Like, he'll be good. Oh my god, what would his drag show name be? Oh, we gotta
think about this.
We gotta think about that one.
We'll report back, because wow. You just opened up a whole fanfic, like, rabbit hole.
Oh, boy. So Edward takes Bella to a meadow, which the meadow did sound beautiful. And I did think it was also well done in the movie that we're not talking about.
Mm-hmm.
To reveal his true self. And in this meadow, they share their first kiss. And Bella, this shy-ass girl, suddenly acts like a dog in heat. And becomes ravenous for Edward's dick. Like, not so shy and introverted are we now, Bella? Like, what the where did this come from? Where did this come from?
He's, like, pushing her away.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
I just...
It feels like the bad start to a porno.
I just wanted to throw my Kindle across the room. I was like, this is stupid. Why did I love this so much? Again. Oh my god. It's and then obviously, like, in reading it, it's just not believable for her character.
Mm-mm.
Like, you can't tell me you have this shy, introverted girl that doesn't talk to boys, and then all of a sudden she has her first kiss with this dude, and now she's just a sex fiend? Like, did he unlock something in her?
Yes.
Like, I just...
Yes. No, that's it. Because this is why this is unfair. Okay, this is a predatory relationship for many reasons. Let's talk about the imbalance of power. For one thing, this man has breath that can make you fall in love with him. Of course she's trying to hump him.
He's like, oh, Edward's breath is my brand of essential oils. Just want to have it all the time.
It's an aphrodisiac. Literally. This is unfair. And she's like, I would die without you. Yeah, because he made it that way. And because you keep almost dying and he saves you. How did you live in Phoenix? How did you survive before Edward was around?
And then
How did you live on this earth for 17 years?
To be fair, he does bring that up. He's like, how are you still here? Because you're literally like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, like, did we think that maybe Bella is faking it a little bit so she can be saved? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my god. So, yeah, that was just jarring when that happened in the book.
The fact that this man is 103 years old and she's 17.
Mm-hmm.
This is icky. I don't like it.
No. So during a Cullen family baseball game, which this does sound fun, and also iconic scene in the movie. Muse.
Yeah, I actually love this. Yeah.
The super massive black hole, whatever the name of the song is, like... Whenever you hear that song, also, you know, like, what scene it refers to.
Oh, absolutely. And I also just love Esme.
Mm-hmm.
And any time that they interact, so when they're kind of, like, off to the side. Yeah. I really like Esme.
I know. She's, like, one of my favorite characters in the book. And I also agree with that. I really liked her relationship with Bella. So the game is interrupted by a nomad vampire coven led by James, a tracker vampire, who immediately becomes obsessed with Bella, because who the fuck isn't obsessed with Bella, and wants to hunt and kill Bella for sport.
Casual.
Just, what is everyone's deal with Bella? I don't understand it.
It's her smell, Heather. It's very explicitly lined out. This book is all about smells.
No, legitimately. Like, it is. Because the wind blows her hair and a whiff of her aroma goes up James's nose and he's like, ooh.
And then they start crouching.
He's like, immediate hard on.
And snarling at each other. Oh, God. And I'm just like, imagine seeing this. And Bella's like, oh my God, it's so hot that he's just snarling and trying to protect me. No, mm-mm. It's a no from mm-mm. me.
I know. And so Bella and Edward are forced to separate, which is the end of Bella's world, because God forbid this man that she met 2 weeks ago, she separated from him. You know.
Exactly. And she's real ungrateful about the fact that his entire damn family is putting themselves in harm's way. And she's mm-hmm. just like, yeah, but what about me and Edward, though?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so she escapes town with Alice and Jasper, who I also love them. They're really fun characters in the book, to hide out in a hotel in Phoenix. Now here comes the gullible part of Bella that, again, just makes me wonder, but it's fine. So James calls Bella and he says, I have your mother hostage, so I need you to come meet me with your mother. You can't bring anyone. And naive Bella's like, yes, she has my mom. I have to sneak away to save her. She fell.
I have to sneak away from these all-powerful vampires who are doing everything to save me and protect me. Because you know what? I'll be better off without them.
She just falls right into this dude's trap, though.
And he'll definitely just let my mom go and I'll somehow survive. That's the other thing.
I'm like, you're gonna go and, like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you truly believe is going to happen?
I feel like Bella is more of a in-the-moment type gal.
Yeah,
she doesn't really think her decisions through.
She doesn't. So, of course, James attacks Bella, and before he can kill her, Edward swoops in with all the other Cullens to save the day.
Wait, rewind for a second, because the way that she got away from them...
Oh, I know, in the airport.
First of all, they can smell you, so I don't know how you're escaping these vampires. And she just... Smart Bella, clumsy, can't even stand up. She just races through the airport, hops in a cab, and she's out.
I guess this is a loophole in Stephanie Meyer's story of smells. Because how?
Everyone she must have been wearing, like, a balaclava, or she must have been fully covered. No smells emanating, but okay. All right, sorry, please continue.
Cullens kill James, and Bella has been bitten. And Edward prevents Bella from becoming a vampire by sucking the venom out of her wound. Which, interesting twist. Don't know. I don't hate it. I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either. But in the book, they have all of this buildup and all of this him saying he can't resist her. And he's building up this, mm-hmm. you know, resistance to be in her presence. And he can barely kiss her without concentrating. And then... all he says is, yeah, I just stopped. It was really hard, but I stopped.
But then
I feel like it should have been a bigger deal, right?
They did make it a bigger deal in the movie.
Oh, that we're 100%. Not talking about. Which, like, remember his face?
Exactly. And
when he looks like he's jizzing in his pants?
Yes.
Robert Pattinson had to do that. Like, get this man. Did he get awards for this? Get this man some awards.
Because, I'm sure they won some MTV movie awards. They did.
Okay, so the movie we're not talking about. Anyway.
Exactly. So she's treated at the hospital, and the story that they're telling everyone is that she fucking, like, fell down the stairs and out of a fucking window.
Two flights of stairs and rockets out a window. And her mom is like, yeah, that tracks.
Because you're so clumsy. Like, what the motherfucking fuck? Like,
you remember that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal? A bubble boy or something. That's what she needs. It's this protective bubble around her. And then Edward could go and have more time for hobbies because she would be in a protective bubble.
But his hobby is watching Bello sleep.
Oh, heavens.
He has one hobby, and it's being a motherfucking creep to Bella.
Gross. Oh my god, gross. Okay.
So they return to Forks, and Edward takes Bella to the prom because he doesn't want Bella missing out on any normal human experiences because of him.
Appreciate. Thank you, Edward. That's a nice sentiment.
And then Bella admits to Edward that she wants to become a vampire like him. She wants to just leave her life to become a vampire for, once again, a man she's known for maybe now 2 months.
As I said, Bella doesn't really think decisions through, because then Edward asks the first very obvious question, What about your mom and dad? And she's like, I don't think it'll be an issue. Yeah, they'll understand that I'm just following my heart. Dude, you're 17.
I know. And here's, like, the one green flag for Edward. He's like, no, I'm not turning you into a vampire. Like, he's completely against it. And he's completely against it the entirety of the series until the very last book.
1,000%.
Like, every book, he's just like, no, you don't want to become a vampire. I don't want to change you, you know.
And okay, she's what's the drawbacks? It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That you want to just kill random people?
Yeah. But Bella will not be swayed. You know, so this story is to be continued. And continued and continued.
And they allude to the fact that Alice has seen her become a vampire. Uh-huh. So that's why Edward is even more anti.
Yes.
We've seen how that plays out. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the lack of actual romance in this novel, because Bella just immediately falls in love with Edward for no real reason, just that he's beautiful and mysterious. And this book is marketed as a young adult vampire romance. And like I said, I can admit that I loved this story as, you know, a late teen. I really liked it, but now reading it in my mid-30s, there's just no true romance here. There's no build-up. There's no story. It's just, he smells her, and now he loves her, and she loves him because, for reasons unknown, actually. Complete reasons unknown.
There's nothing. There's no, there's nowhere where it feels like they're actually connecting. Every part is her being nervous about what he's thinking or what she says, and him, all he keeps saying is, well, if I was a nice person, I'd let you go. And if you were smart, you'd stay away from me. And I mean,
and also,
did you ever think, like, if you have to force them, you don't want them? You know what I mean?
And on top of that, now that I've read so many dark romances, the way that Stephanie writes Edward as trying to be this devious, you know, villain, it just doesn't come across at all whatsoever. And it kind of takes away from his character, because you're not, again, there's just no substance. Like, I know I keep saying that, but there's just no substance to, like, their characters.
It's giving hormonal teenager. From someone who's supposed to be 103 years old, I feel like he should have his emotions under control. But also, you get these small nuggets from his family of them being like, he's never felt this way before. Yeah. And it's so special because we wanted him to find someone. And if you just go off of that, oh, that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. He finally found what he's looking for. But then you look at their relationship and you're like, I do not get it.
No. No, you don't.
And there was potential for her to have those moments between them.
Absolutely. But the way that it's written, it's just, she doesn't
just
have a thought in her head. Like, it's just,
exactly.
She does,
you just have to immediately accept that they would die for each other. That's it.
With no reason.
No lead up.
It's almost like Love is Blind. Like, this is like the equivalent of Love is Blind. You just fall in love with somebody. But at least on that, there's substance to why you fall in love with them.
Yeah, at least they have real discussions like, hey, do you want to have kids? Hey, do you want to live forever and be a vampire? Who'd you vote for in the last election? I didn't see them asking any of those questions.
I know. And like, I know it's young adult too, but I feel like if if living in this way, in this generation now, if this book came out now in 2024, no. I would be a pissed tween. This is what you're giving me?
And we read YA books. We have reviewed many current YA books on this mm-hmm. podcast that we loved. This is a travesty. Also, you know what really pissed me off when I was reading this? The fact that this whole confrontation mm-hmm. happens in a ballet studio.
Yeah.
Bella can't even stand up without hurting herself. They couldn't have, and he's like, oh, the mirrors. They couldn't have picked somewhere that actually had relevance or substance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She probably took 2 dance lessons. Like, literally. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. And also, how did James find those videotapes? And how did he, like, even that whole plan was stupid. Just everything was stupid. Okay. What do you think of her desire to become a vampire? Do you think it's justified? After reading this book, do you think her desire to become a vampire is justified?
Well, this is a tough question because I don't think any of this is justified. If I'm buying into the fact that they are actually in love, mm-hmm. then of course, because she doesn't want to grow old when he's not going to grow old. And how... Okay, it's like Shadow and Bone. You know how she's like got these powers
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't. And she acknowledges that they're not going to be able to stay together because they're not going to relate. And mm-hmm. it's going to create this resentment, animosity, whatever. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. But at the same time, you know nothing about it. You've asked basically 0 questions. You're not thinking about the aftermath where you won't even be able to be around anyone that you know
mm-hmm.
without trying to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a no from me. But if I was her, yeah, I'd be like, sure. No, I wouldn't want to live forever, especially not in Forks, Washington. Imagine. What do you think?
I agree with you. I don't understand. Because if there's one thing about Bella from this book is that she has no, there's nothing she loves. There's no like hobby she has. There's not something that really makes her happy and just, you know, there's nothing. Because again, there's no substance to her character.
Mm-hmm.
So how can someone that doesn't really do anything in life have this sudden desire to just want to do a complete change of her life for someone that she just met? And I admit his family does seem hella cool. Like, I would mm-hmm. love to kick it with the Collins. But, like, it just, from this book alone, there's just no, it does not make sense.
Yes. Does she think that she's automatically going to be able to play Mozart and be good at baseball and all of these things that Edward is good at because he's a vampire? Or is that just because he is a gifted athlete and musician and he's had 100 years to practice?
And it just makes her so selfish because, like you said, she's not even thinking about her family, and she doesn't in the other books. She doesn't give 2 fucks. She's so hell-bent on, I have to become a vampire because I need to mm-hmm. be with Edward forever. It's like she's under the spell for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, like I said, it's Edward's like, girl, like, no, I don't want to mm-hmm. do that to you. He's finally got his head on straight, but she's just so adamant that... But
yes, that's the thing. He is telling you, this man that you're, this man-boy vampire, that you're so obsessed with and invested in is telling you no, and you're so invested in him, but you're not listening to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's saying, stay away from me, you're not listening to him. Everyone in her life, she's not listening to Jacob or Billy. She is a bitch to Charlie. Don't even get me started. Justice for Charlie is really the point.
Justice for Charlie. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. And she's like, will you be okay if I'm not home for one day? He's like, I lived here for 17 years without you.
Yeah. Yeah. Their whole relationship is so weird.
She was so ungrateful.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what did he ever do to you?
I know. Even like that whole scene in the book where she needs to like leave Forks and the whole like dramatic. No.
I hated it. I hate that part of the movie. I hate that part of the book. It's mm-hmm. so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's fine. You'll just apologize later. No, mm-hmm. Charlie's going to remember that.
I know. And also, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you have this girl who's never been infatuated with anyone before. And now all of a sudden she needs to leave Forks over some guy. Like, it's just not believable.
That she told her dad about literally that day.
Mm-hmm. Like, it just does not make sense. But I guess to piggyback off that, and you kind of said that, does the idea of living forever appeal to you?
Yes and no. Yes, because there's so many things that you'd be able to experience without limitations such as old age, your health, money, mm-hmm. all these things. It obviously has its negatives too, that they have to keep moving around, they have to live somewhere where it's not sunny, all this stuff. But
even if like you could be, but like even if that's, yeah, I know. But even if that's not, you could live forever and not be sparkly, and you could live in a different state, you know. I guess even just the idea of not even like living forever as a vampire, just the idea of like living forever.
In this economy, in this world,
in this election
year, no, it's a no from me. In theory, yes, but in practice, no. Because it's that whole thing of, and this is such a tangent, but people who believe that there's nothing after death, and I'm like, this is it? You really think, like, this is it? This sucks most mm-hmm. of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I would. But a big reason for that, too, is that I have such, like, this inherent fear about death and, mm-hmm. like, FOMO of what happens after I'm gone mm-hmm. and missing out on things. So I think for me, I would want to live forever.
Yeah, but then it's like the people around you, if they are aging as normal and you're not going to be able to, even if you were able to keep them in your life, whatever,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to enjoy things with them forever because mm-hmm. they're going to have the limitations of being mortal.
Yeah.
So it's got to be such a lonely life, which for them, it's not because they have their coven, their, you know, their family, which is great. But if they don't have them, it's mm-hmm. such a lonely life.
Yeah. Valid points.
Hmm. I also wouldn't be living anywhere with Edward. Ain't no one watching me sleep.
No, if I could have a vampire in the fictional world of pop culture, it would be Stefan Salvatore from The Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
I was obsessed with him. I was a Stefan girly.
So. Okay. I am not a vampire girly in general. Just doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know.
Hitting you with big questions. What did you, and we kind of talked about this, but what did you think about the mental whiplash that is Edward and his demeanors that he constantly switches back and forth to? Because there's kind of this perception from when I was reading and people that were, you know, reviewing the book, you know, they kind of make Edward out to be this perfect man, which is also like why Bella falls for him. But I just don't see it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know how this, the toxicity of the way he speaks to her and like gaslights her as he did, you know, in the beginning of the book, and just saying all these bad things about like, oh, I could kill you in a mm-hmm. second, but I won't. And it's just, it doesn't make sense to make him appear to be like this perfect guy and this, mm-hmm. and this really good romantic lead. Cause realistically he's not. Like, yeah, he does heroic things throughout the book. But he also is so hot and cold with her,
mm-hmm.
which I know some people might like, but
things that he says to her aren't things that she can immediately relate to because they're weird things. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I've never wanted to kill someone as much as I want to kill you. You smell so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get the whole, that's where I kind of understand the teenage part of, oh, this guy is playing hard to get, but then he gives me a little bit and I want more. That I get, but the little bit that he's giving you is, oh, I could really kill you, but I'm trying not to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
and then like eventually like he can kiss her without an issue. He can be around her without an issue. And so it just you kind of want him to be more rough with her, in my opinion. And he's just not. Like, he says these things, but they're not matching up with his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would believe it more if he was, you know, rough with her, like, you know, grabs her throat as a joke or something. Like, he doesn't do any of that. Like, he's just being so clean cut and, like, nice.
If you really wanted to scare her away, you could. Yeah. Obviously, you don't want to scare her away.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you shouldn't be friends with me. You should stay away from me. And it's like, but also don't. Like, okay.
Yeah, but also now I'm going to never leave you alone, be with you every second, drive you to school, walk you to class. And how is she even getting through class? Because after they start...
Oh my God, I know.
Hanging out. I don't know. Whatever it is they're doing. She's like, I just can't even focus. All I think about is when I'm going to see Edward again. I can't breathe when I'm not with Edward.
Next to each other, there's like an electrical current. I'm like, it's like these two just like want to like rip their clothes off and like fuck on the biology table. Like,
well, she does.
Oh, I know. She clearly does. But it just doesn't. Oh God. The chemistry that Stephanie is trying to get across does not come across whatsoever.
Yeah, I get the whole dark romance thing in dark romance books.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that those are sometimes very unhealthy relationships that we're supposed to idolize because it's written in that way to pull you in and to convince you that even though this is so fucked up, it's so hot, this is not pulling you in.
No.
And I just don't understand the chokehold that it had over us. I don't, because I saw the movie before I ever read the book. And then I read the book because I had seen the movie. Don't know why, because the movie's not good. But it was still the whole experience of the movie and this phenomenon and this all-star cast and all this stuff. And then I guess you read the book knowing those characters and what they look like and, you know, how this is all acted out. So you read it differently. But even then, how are we believing the love story? I don't know.
Yeah, I did read the books before I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I did read them before the movie. But it's so ironic that you say that, because my last and final question is, what do you think about the phenomenon that has become Twilight?
I think it's, well, I don't get it, obviously. But it's one of those things that the smallest thing can blow up into something huge. Mm-hmm. Look at the freaking Hawk-twa girl, or whatever the fuck her name is. And she's a millionaire because she made this video that went viral. This is the old way of things going viral. But even, I mean, I worked at Hot Topic. We sold merch. We sold, I went to a midnight premiere of, I can't remember which movie. And the movies are not good. Like, the budgets that these movies got, the quality is not measuring up.
Mm-mm.
But it just, I don't get it. It's like a sheep thing. I don't know.
It completely created like a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
And like I brought up in the beginning, you know, you had these middle-aged women who have children, they're moms, and they're idolizing this teenage boy in a book and making it weird and getting in fights on the internet about it and in person. And it's just, that was disturbing. Like, I remember the whole Twilight mom thing happening and just how like insane it was. But it's actually crazy how, you know, these authors write, again, this was like her debut novel, her like debut series, and it becomes this huge thing. And this just happens so often. Like, you have E.L. James with 50 Shades of Grey, and like that took off. Of course, I was in that too, and everything. But then, like, and then you hear the story about,
that's not good writing either.
No, and she stole it from someone's fan fiction. Like, she stole the whole idea from some. I think actually it was from like a Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So it's just, this is just what happens. It's like,
but I understand it now, especially because of BookTok and Bookstagram and the internet and the way that the smallest thing can go viral and blow up and all this stuff. But in 2008, this was happening. It just, God, did we not have enough to occupy our time?
No, I don't think so. Because you have to also, when you think about it, even like the internet wasn't what it is now. Social media was not what it is now.
That's
at that
true.
Time, you only had MySpace and Facebook.
Facebook was just starting.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. this was just kind of what you did. And like midnight movie premieres were a thing. Like those aren't mm-hmm. a thing anymore. Ever since COVID with streaming, like people don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the book talk is kind of like the new way of people obsessing mm-hmm. over things.
And we talked about that. Even I wasn't as invested in Twilight just in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a midnight premiere mm-hmm. because it was so much fun to be a part
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to Ren Faire or something.
Yeah.
You might have
it's
no
literally...
interest in that whatsoever. But just the fact of dressing up and seeing all these people who are so into it and being a part of that world for a day is so awesome. And then it just turns into this sheep mindset of... we're just all obsessed with this thing and we're kind of ignoring the fact that the substance isn't there. But if you can get into, you know, a discussion with someone about whether you're Team Edward or Team Jacob, great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve the success she has, because kudos to you. Like, you wrote a story. Mm-hmm. You're doing what every author wants and hopes for, you know, every aspiring author wants. And she did it. And now she's rich forever
mm-hmm.
and she created this story. But I guess for me, reading it now, and I know this is a young adult series, but obviously it was put a chokehold on all fucking ages.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's just when you look back now at the saga in its entirety, it just wasn't a good story.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good. And like each book kind of got so... she did too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she really did too much. But everyone loved it, you know? But, like, thinking back on it now, there's no substance. And she goes on these historical tangents, because I remember she does the same thing in the other books.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away from the actual story and the actual connections to the characters. So it's wild to me that this was such a big thing. But I can't falter, because I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a total... Twilight person. So
oh yeah, she has our money for sure.
Has all of our money.
It's like, just it's hard just... to look at it in hindsight. It's hard for us to understand and put ourselves in mm-hmm. that place in hindsight, because it just seems so like there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, should we get to the ratings?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, so this is out of Sparkly Vampires. So
not
I finished
sparkly
it
vampires.
And I said 3 out of 5, but then we discussed it. And now I'm like, no, this is a definite like 2.5 5 sparkly vampires.
That feels generous.
Yeah, because I was a 3. And then I'm like, no, this is actually, now that I'm talking about it, you know, but like I have to give credit where it's due. Because I was into this book,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even reading it, I was like so excited to like reread it. And then while I was rereading it, I was like, oh no, this is not holding up. Like, this just like isn't good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was upsetting, because I was like, wow, like everyone was just obsessed with this book that has not one iota of anything interesting. You know? There mm-hmm. just wasn't anything. So it's kind of insane. But, you know, it is what it is. It honestly. And I feel like this is what happens to, you know, these huge things take off, and then there's always going to be like things that are problematic in the future. Like the whole thing with like Harry Potter and like J.K. Rowling. Like, I loved those books mm-hmm. and I still love them, but it sucks that like the author is problematic.
Well, and I was actually thinking about that when you were saying before, if J.K. Rowling had just shut her fucking mouth and mm-hmm. just taken her money and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't causing all these issues, great. Everyone would have these amazing fond memories. No one would look too far into it. I mean, that changed a lot of people's lives, that series. And now we have to look back and feel mm-hmm. guilty about liking
it's tainted
it because
now.
She's hard. Exactly.
Yeah, like it's tainted.
And the good thing about Stephanie Myers is she just took her money And I haven't heard from her since.
No. You know, like, I know she wrote The Host, and she tried to have this, she tried to create this sci-fi writing career for her, but it didn't really take off. And, like, mm-hmm. I know she wrote Midnight Sun, which was Twilight mm-hmm. from, like, Edward's POV. I never read that. You know, so it's just, you know, she's still kind of milking the Twilight, which she can, and she should, because people and are still reading it.
She's still getting royalties. She's, you know, still getting.
And it's, the movie has become this thing now where, like, it was all over Instagram once, like, mm-hmm. September hit.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was, you know, this is all my guilty pleasure movie. This is, like, my fall movie. So, kudos.
It's like Mean Girls.
Like, literally.
It's just this normal movie that has become one of the most quoted movies ever. It's just, it's comes up every year.
Now.
Exactly.
And it's not even good, but people mm-hmm. just love it. And I will still watch it if it's on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and, like, the one good thing that came out of these movies was these killer fucking soundtracks. Like, the soundtracks were so good, and the music was so just so good. But yeah, so 2.5 out of 5 sparkly vampires. Maybe I'll bump it up to 3 just because whatever.
I'm giving it 2 sparkly vampires. And after we just ripped it apart for the past hour, I feel like that's generous. But I am giving those 2 stars because I am a sucker. I was in it. I participated in the phenomenon.
And yet you said you weren't a vampire girly, but you're a sucker?
I was Team Jacob. Okay. But also, I feel like because the movie that we're not talking about was so, some of it was so ridiculous. The acting. Oh, Kristen Stewart. I understand her now, but I sure didn't understand her back then. And Robert Pattinson, just his facial expressions. Anyway, I feel like even when you're watching it, you know that it's not good. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that it's cringy.
Yeah.
But it's still, you still buy into it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like in an ironic way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I definitely, props to her. I feel like she has taken the criticisms, hasn't bit back, hasn't ruined her memory, hasn't all of these things. Great for her. I'm happy she's rolling in dough right now. But let's just do better moving forward. Let's do better. Because
I feel like I don't want to reread now any books from my youth, because I'm just it's going to take away the feelings I have.
And I'm like, this is the relationship that we were, that teenage girls were supposed to be looking up to.
That's the other thing. And I even
it's so
saw,
unhealthy.
I even like saw someone pose that as a question as well. Like, do you believe that their relationship is a good role model for girls reading this book? And I was like, hell no.
Of course not.
You know what I
She's
mean?
She's ready to leave everything in her life for a guy who keeps telling her he could kill her? I don't know. Whatever. We talked about it a lot. The point is, I don't think it's a healthy mindset or example. I don't think that when she was writing this, she knew it was going to be as big as it was, obviously.
No. You never
do. So that's not even on her.
Yeah.
But just the fact of, like you said, people fighting about what team they're on and all this stuff. It's like, we should be on no one's team. We should be on.
We should be on Team Charlie Young Girls team.
We should be on Charlie's
team.
Only
team that I want to be on.
Wow.
All right, let's wrap this up because we could go another hour. we don't want to do that.
Imagine we were talking about the movie, which we're not at all. But
it would literally tack on another hour. Yeah. No. All right. That's all we have for you today, which was a lot.
We're sorry. Listen, we're sorry.
If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you use. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcafpod@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at fullybookedcafpod to see our upcoming reads. Thanks for checking us out. And remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked. Bye.
Bye.